Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Reverend Don Lewis coming to you from witchschool.com. Are you looking for the best in pagan and magical education? With more than 12,000 pages, witchschool.com is like having your own personal library with individual learning assistants to help you study. And Witchschool's anyone, anytime, anywhere education system is available any place on earth, anywhere you are and anytime you want it, as long as you have an internet connection. Witchschool's lifetime memberships are a great value. They really do last a lifetime. They've been there for years and they'll be there for years to come. So get your membership today at witchschool.com.
Bright blessings, wonderful listeners, and welcome to Lady Bridges Ask a Witch, the show where you can call in with your most pressing questions and hopefully get some answers. We'll talk about household and magical tips, share crafty hints and how-to, and discuss everything in between, from the curious students to the novice, from beginners to high priestess and priests, from coven leaders to event planners, from speakers to the maids, the mothers, and the crones. This show is for you. I'll do my best to answer your questions or try to find the answers if possible. We have a whole community here to work with, so grab a seat. Join us for a spell or two, and remember, there are no stupid questions, just unasked ones.
Welcome. This is the Ask a Witch Show, brought to you by Pagans Tonight, where pagans unite. I'm Mama Bear, and with me is our beautiful Lady Bridget. Lady Bridget, are you with us?
I certainly am, Kazan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I bet you're tired.
Oh, my gosh. I'm tired, and I think I'm trying to come down with something. I'm getting a bit of a sore throat here, and so we had a very fun and exhausting weekend. It was a fabulous weekend, in spite of the rain. It had been raining out where we were at. We went to a place, it's called Blackberry Hill. One of the people in my clan owned the property, and her and her husband have a cottage that he built, absolutely darling cottage that he built. And I know she's going to get her shed built soon, because the whole weekend, three times over the weekend, she said, oh, he's got to get that shed built soon so he can get all of his tools and his stuff out of my cottage. So it was kind of like, oh, that's the magical thing. We know it's going to be built soon. And then we look, and he's already got the foundation laid for it. So he has the basic, you know, the bottom part, the floor for it. So it's just getting the rest of it done. He's pretty good at doing that quickly, so that'll be nice. It will be very nice, and we had a good weekend. So it was hard getting up the hill for some of the cars. One of my students got her car kind of in there sideways.
Ooh.
And she kind of tapped a tree. Yeah, and she had to turn. She couldn't back her car down, so she had to turn her car around through all the blackberry brambles, and it kind of scratched the car up. Not too bad. She says it can be buffed out, but I felt bad for her. It was tough. You know, it was hard because some people were getting stuck from the mud, so they had to walk up the hill. But otherwise, it was good. It was nice. We had a lot of fun, and because of the rain, we didn't do our water fight warrior games, but we did consume massive amounts of a fruity sangria. So we had a very healthy alcoholic drink. It had lots of fruit and sangria to it. It was good.
No chocolate?
Oh,
you didn't have
goodness.
Chocolate?
Are you kidding me? We had chocolate. After, let's see, Friday night was mine and Lady Rune's croning. So we got croned, and it was a wonderful thing. And I am her high priestess and her high queen mother. I trained her, and then she trained Lady Lily, who owns the property, and the training has, you know, and gone on and further on, and some of their students were there too. So, you know, it was kind of nice, and I couldn't have had a better time of being than being crowned with Lady Rune. That was, to me, the absolute highlight. But on Saturday, we had this wonderful ritual that Lady Rune likes to do, and it's the chocolate ritual.
Yay!
You can see massive amounts of chocolate as well as wearing it. So,
Oh, I don't know about wearing it. That's a waste.
Oh, no, there's nothing is wasted. There's just a little bit that gets smeared onto your face, but within tongue reach, so you can lick it off. Nothing is wasted. So, but it was a good weekend. Very nice weekend. Relaxing, restful. It was pretty cool because there were deers around and lots of coons. It was hot, though. I wanted to sleep outside. But with all the rain, there's a lot of skeeters, and
yes.
I really wasn't too certain about sleeping outside with all the raccoons running loose out there. You know, it's like in the middle of nowhere, so they have all these critters.
Well, if you come here, I guarantee you, you won't get wet. We have 99, 100, 102 temperature, heat indexes is in excess of 110. You won't get wet because it's too hot to rain.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's the downside of it. The upside is it's nice and it's warm, and you know, all your flowers are probably blooming and looking rather pretty. And mine are so far behind. They're like their growth has been stunted because we've had so much rain.
Well, you know, I planted gourds, and these things are just growing big, beautiful leafy vines all over. They're popping out flowers, but they're not making gourds. I don't know if they're not getting pollinated. I don't know if it's too hot. I don't know what the problem is, but I don't see any baby gourds yet.
Well, once the flowers are finished blooming, keep an eye, you'll see little tiny buds. That's when you'll see the gourds popping in. What kind of gourds did you plant? Hint, hint, hint.
Birdhouse gourds.
Birdhouse gourds. Were any of them dragon gourds?
No, I didn't have any.
What's
a dragon gourd?
Oh, they're a really cool, they're a gourd that you could make a nice little birdhouse out of. It's a fairly decent-sized gourd, and it's real, it's thick, but it gets, the vine is huge. I had one a couple years ago. All the girls had been given dragon gourds at our urban plant exchange, and we grew them, but it was a kind of a crummy year like this one's been. I thought mine died. I didn't realize that mine had grown until I was clearing away some weeds that had popped up, and I saw the flowers, and I went, oh, my gosh, that's not weeds. That's my dragon gourd. So by the time the flower was finished and blooming, and it had been pollinated, but by the time the gourd started growing, we had such a cold season. It went like from spring, skipped over summer just a little, and then went into fall, kind of like what we're doing now. Although we have another month, we still have hope. So, but, yeah, dragon gourds are pretty cool little dragons, or little dragons, little gourds. Speaking of
dragons. You have dragons on the brain.
Here we go. I've got dragons on the mind. Well, that's because we're talking about playing with dragons. You know, I love my critters that are big. I like those big critters, like my dogs. My dogs are big. Great Danes. One is. The other one, I don't think so. I don't know about her. I don't think she's going to be all that big. But I do like my critters. My dog, one dog is a dragon, is part of his name. Thor's Thunder Dragon. Because he sounded like a dragon running through the house. He sounded like a herd of dragons. Oh, my gosh. And he was just a puppy. So dragons are they're a really cool thing to have, you know. So those of you who are listening to us live, grab yourself something to drink and sit back and be prepared to have a little fun with us tonight. We are really glad you joined us. We're glad you're here with us, and we're going to be having a little chat on our dragons and hope you get something from it.
Well, there are times when you look out on land or over water and you see a mist or a fog. Now, I've been told that this is the dragon's breath, and I see that every night in the field across from us, you know, not when it's really hot, but in moderate days, you can just see it rolling in across that field. And the thicker the heavier the fog, the closer you are to the dragon's lair. So take caution.
That's right.
And keep your eyes to the sky.
That is
now,
very true.
Have you, you know, I don't know, like here, when we're driving down the road, there's mountains all over, and you can see wispy, you know, dragon smoke. It looks like it's just rising up, and I know it's from the little creeks or whatever that are, you know, meandering through the mountains, but it's so cool early in the morning because it looks like the dragons are all coming in to go to sleep.
Or they're just waking up. So, you know, it's one or the other. And I remember when we go through West Virginia, when we're on the road and we go through there, you see that in the mountains. You look into the mountains and the hills, and you will see those mists. That means there's dragon's lairs nearby, or the dragon had just been through that area, just passing through. So, you know, there's different kinds of dragons too. We're going to focus mostly on magical, but there's different types. There's Oriental dragons and European dragons. The Oriental dragons they're more like a serpent. They're not a dragon. I don't think they're dragons. Chinese ones, I don't think those are dragons. I think those are snakes with teeth and wings. But I like what it represents. The Chinese dragon is a benevolent symbol, and it represents luck and wisdom. So I like that it represents that. I like the meaning behind it. It's just the way they draw it. I don't like it.
Yeah,
like
it looks fearsome.
So.
It does. But let's
but it
discuss,
looks like a snake.
And you know how they have those, I guess they're like floats or whatever. They got those little, well, I would love to have one in my front yard, but not made of paper, made of something permanent. Okay, now the dragons of Europe, they were large, powerful creatures with large wings and sharp teeth. They guarded their treasures and terrorized local villagers by eating livestock and burning homes. Now they represented power and grandeur. And Western culture represented them as malicious beings and tricksters.
You know, originally they were considered like greedy, evil beings. And the European dragons were related to Satan, as in the Bible. They were related in that respect. And originally they weren't nice, but over time, those dragons had transformed, and they came to represent qualities like bravery and intelligence, ambition. Sometimes they'd show kindness. And in today's culture, we see dragons as being fierce, but still they're kind. There's like children's stories will show them as being a strong creature, but they're not without their weaknesses, such as when it comes to a very charming and brave young child.
Oh, are we talking about Never-Ending Story here?
Perhaps, maybe.
I love
that
movie.
I do, too.
But you know, one of my favorite movies, and I can't remember the name of it, it'll have to come back to me later because I can't remember the name of it. But it was about a dragon, and he was the last of his kind. His name was Draco, if you remember the movie. Maybe you'll know what I'm talking about.
I do. I do. Oh, my goodness. I do remember that movie. Let's see if anybody in
Dragonheart.
Our chat room. Dragonheart. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that movie.
I love that. Well, that's a sweet one. Very sweet
mm-hmm.
movie. And then, you know, we have, if you're someone who watches Game of Thrones, if you're as hooked into that as I'm addicted to it, there's a character in this, and I guess there's a series of a novel. This is like a trilogy or something that they have.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was a book. But anyway, there is a character, both in the book and in the TV series, that has, she's born of the dragon herself. She's part of a dragon clan. And she goes into this, long story short, she goes in the fire and she comes out with three baby dragons. She was given eggs as a wedding present. And she goes in this fire and these eggs hatch. So she gets her eggs and her babies turn in to be big dragons. And one of them is this really big, huge black dragon that she has trouble controlling. And what I like about the way this is written, at least for the TV series, is that it really depicts a true dragon, especially as how we viewed them for that era.
Mm-hmm.
They're fierce. It's terrifying. It represented a very terrifying figure to the villagers because it meant that they were going to lose livestock and they could lose their home. Everything they have, it could burn an entire village by flying over. So
there would be somebody to have on your side, wouldn't they?
Oh, hey, I would love that. I'd love to have a dragon like that to a degree because, you know, I used to say that. And then after watching Game of Thrones and seeing how hers has come, you have to think beyond the idea of how cool this is, you know, because this dragon
mm-hmm.
now... She's become a queen, and now her people are coming to her and saying, hey, look, lady, look what your pet did to my lamb. Now my family will have no food for the winter. Now what are you going to do about it? And, you know, after so many people complained, she had to do something, and she chained the other two up because she still had control on them, and she chained those two up, and the black one was left to fly. So he flew for a couple seasons he was off flying around, and one season anyway, they brought him back last season. And now we are anxiously awaiting the next installment to see what happens to this big black dragon. So it's kind of a cool thing. But, you know, it also did show, this dragon does show the kindness that they do have. So they're fascinating creatures.
Well, for our listeners tonight, we know we're going to be talking about dragon magic. So if you have a question or a comment or you'd like to share some experience with your dragon magic, call us at 347-308-8222 and press 1 at the prompt so that I know you want to talk to us. Now, Lady Bridget, let's discuss some of these dragons and their elements or whatever.
Just going to say that. Let's talk about some of the elemental ones that you found some interesting information. Let's talk about that one.
Okay, now these are called the great dragons of earth, air, fire, and water. Now, these are the dragons of the four elements, and they can be described in similar ways to any other force that represents the elements. They're wise, powerful, and very cunning, much like elemental lords, archangels, watchtowers, etc. Within a ritual context, they function much the same way as either the archangels or the watchtowers or the lords. They come to you to protect your right or to enhance its power. The power of earth is the dominion of Grael. Fire is Fafnir. Water is Nelon. And air is Seyrith.
Well, I'm glad you got to pronounce that.
There was a key.
A little easier to read it with the key than it is to look at it and say, now how is that pronounced? But, you know, There's also a belief that there's lesser dragons of the zodiac and the elemental aspects. These are dragons that are masters of their sphere of influence. Each represents certain areas of influence that is contained within the larger portfolios of the great dragons and the elder dragons. So you don't want to be fooled by their place in the hierarchy of dragons, because they're as powerful as any other dragon within their sphere of influence. The spheres of influence that they occupy are specific, such as storms as an aspect of air. During a storm, if you call upon the dragon of storms to either abate, you know, or lessen or increase the ferocity of a storm, can be a simple matter to do if you're in tune with your dragon.
And now we have the guardian dragons. The guardian dragons are adept at their task and quite skilled in fulfilling their charges. Remember that their place is to guard and keep secret, not to do anything else. And while they may try, success is not guaranteed. That comes from not following in the hierarchy. Other tasks may be asked of other dragons for whom that task falls closer to their sphere of influence. In other words, if it's a protection dragon or a guardian dragon, you know, that's what it's going to do, and it might try to do something you would ask it to do, but it won't be able to because that's not within its sphere of influence. Now, guardian dragons may be called to serve for a brief period of time, say the length of a trip, or for an indefinite time frame, like the length of a marriage. So a guardian dragon can be evoked, or let me ask you this, Bridget, because you do dragon magic. Let's start with that. How do you actually get in touch with a dragon? How do you actually start this? Because I don't do dragon magic, so I have to ask.
Well, you know, you have to remember it's very important that you have a belief in dragons. That's essential to any kind of dragon working. And, you know, there's challenges in working with dragons. Mostly, your bigger challenges are in the beginning. You're mostly getting to know them. That's probably the first aspect of being around dragons, is getting to know them. Find out as much as you can about them. And what their habitat is like. That's the first of the challenges of working with a dragon. And there's some, you know, I went looking at some websites. I've got about three websites I'll share with you tonight that I thought were worth sharing. There is not a whole lot of stuff on the internet about it. Not anywhere, you know, not decent stuff. There's a lot of hokum stuff. But there's some good books out there. Two of them, one of my favorite authors, D.J. Conway, is one of the first ones she came out with is Dancing with Dragons. And it's ironic that that came out around the time that I was really getting into working with them. I was just starting to find out about dragons and learning about them. And you know, of course, there's that kid in me. I still believe in dragons. So I really believe there was something in the ether part of the plane. And as time went on, I found out that there was. So, you know, that's one of the challenges, you know, getting to know them. You also want to be very objective, very, very frank with yourself, very critical in your reasons for wanting to work with dragons, because it's, working with dragons can be a dangerous thing. And you want to start off by setting some time for yourself every day so that you can meditate. You can think about them and think about what you've learned, think about the information you've acquired. And as you're reading and you're finding out what they like, where they like to go, places they like to be, you start to attract the dragon to you by calling it. Call to that dragon. You don't have to have a specific name for it. Just, I call to the dragon of. Pick an element. I wouldn't say doing fire. That's kind of a dumb thing. But
yeah.
Leave it an offering. You know, when you really, I mean, you find something that they like, leave them an offering. And try to visualize that dragon being near you, because they are shy. You have to be very patient. It does take time. And you do have to be aware of your surroundings. There's a lot of ways that they make their appearance known, sometimes through dreams, sometimes on the astral plane. You might see a doorway sometimes, or you might feel a rustle in a bush and there's really nothing there. It's not even a critter. These are ways that dragons have of letting you know they're there. So
those are
some ideas.
Well, generally, guardian dragons are smaller, but don't let their size fool you. They can be very fierce.
Mm-hmm.
These are dragons that you can call to guard your circle just as you would the watchtowers. However, it takes quite a bit of time to learn to work with them. These dragons can be like young children. It takes time and patience to earn their trust. And be aware that you can call in a negative dragon with negative thoughts. Okay, now that I got to stop right there and ask you this. Okay, if you're having negative thoughts and you don't even necessarily have to be thinking about dragons, but a person who has a lot of negative, angry thoughts, can they actually attract this type of dragon to them and then have it following them around wherever they go? Okay, so they're causing trouble.
They
don't even know how that started.
You know, that's you hear people say, I just don't understand how, or I don't understand why. I don't get why. That's why. They're so unaware themselves of that negativity that they're putting out and attracting. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that negative entity picks up on that energy. Whether it's an entity, whether it's a dragon, they pick up on that negative energy, and they're like the moth to the flame.
Yeah, they're going to feed on it.
Careful.
And, of course, since you're feeding it, it's going to hang around even more, right?
Right. Yeah, you know, and the thing, you know, these are the type of dragons you want to attract. So it's really important to only do your working, reading about them, studying about them. Only do that when you're in a good mood or a positive mood. Don't do it when you're down and depressed or angry or negative, any of those, you know, negative type of emotions. Because dragons can be extremely difficult to control, if you can even control them. Usually, don't even plan on trying to control a dragon. It's about as easy as it is to control the direction of a fly. So, and negative dragons will bring that chaos and destruction with them. You don't want
right.
that around you. You really don't. We're close to our halfway mark. Should we play something special for our listeners?
Oh, yeah. I have a special song. It's called The Serpent of Silver. And it's by Wendy Rule, who, by the way, is going to be our guest next month. So I'm going to play this song. It's called Serpent of Silver. And this time, if you want to go grab something to drink real quick, you can do that while we're playing this song. And we'll be back at you in 4 minutes and 25 seconds.
from your eyes to my eyes, and onward, my lover.
I just love her voice. She's such a good torch singer.
She is. And we're excited that we get to have her on the show
next month.
I'm really looking forward to that. So
well, you know, I have so much of her music, and her music, it scans the whole range, okay? Like when we had Kiliana, she did a traditional song with Kiliana. She has such a versatile voice. She can do every kind of song.
That's pretty good. You know, not many people have that type of a voice where they can do that.
No, they don't. So. Well, for our listeners, if you have a question or a comment that you'd like to share, call in at 347-308-8222 and press 1 so I'll know you're out there and you want to talk to us. So let's talk a little bit about dragon parts, dragon teeth and bones. Now, these were considered to be
pieces?
The remains. Huh? Dragon pieces
and parts? Pieces.
Yeah, parts and pieces.
Yeah.
Okay. These were once considered to be the remains of dragons, and some maintain they're fossilized bones of dinosaurs. Most agree, though, that they are fossilized remains of prehistoric animals. For instance, mastodons. Among them, they've been found the bones of a giant 10-foot ape, Gigantopithecus blackie, which lived alongside humans in various locations in China and Vietnam. And once in a while, the fossilized teeth of humans have lived in prehistoric times. Who lived in prehistoric times? Okay. Now, I don't know, okay, there was speculation, I had heard this years ago, that the dragon thing evolved because they took all these bones that they were digging up and they started throwing pieces together, and it didn't matter if it was one animal to another animal. They just, if it fit, it would go in, you know, whether it was accurate or not. I can imagine they created some really ugly monsters.
Well, you know, you're probably right. They probably did, but yeah, you know, it's interesting what the Chinese can do with different pieces and parts and medicines that they come up with. I am totally convinced that they are the forefront people for medicines.
They have.
You know,
have you ever been into a Chinese herb shop?
No, I've seen it. I saw a documentary on TV where someone had gone into one, and wow, that was fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, because
no,
I've always wanted to go in, but I've never found one to go into.
Oh, see, and you'd think coming from Chicago we could find one. Like, wow, gee, down in Chinatown, there should have been one there. I never thought to go in there at the time, though, you know?
No, me either.
Like I saw, like I said, I saw a documentary.
Oh,
so
wow.
So that was pretty cool. And now they're saying, somebody was saying in the chat room that they have these dragon eye necklaces that are pretty cool.
I've seen those.
You know,
I really like those. That's for, I guess you would invoke your guardian dragon and have that symbol on you. Yeah, wherever you go, your dragon's with you. I would be willing to have something like that on me at all times.
Yeah, it would be a good idea.
When you work with dragons, Lady Bridget, what do you do, basically? How do you use your dragons?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm coming at this
mind.
Completely ignorant, okay?
Right. No, it's just, how do I use them? Answers that go through my brain, you know? I swing them by the tail and... Oh, no, I've got to...
No, we know better.
we know better. No, how do I use them? I use them, for the most part, I use them as for protective guardians, for protection.
Okay.
I used one, there was a couple of times I've used them when we've been out on the motorcycle, and it's just something, you know, you get that feeling. If something hits your gut, you get that feeling. So you think, wow, this is really a time when it's going to take more than just putting up a circle. I usually will put a traveling circle of protection around us, especially if we're going somewhere on the bike, like, you know, we go to another town or state or whatever.
Right.
When we're traveling like that, I put protections around us. When we're going on a state-to-state sort of thing, then I kind of ask my dragons to be with me and to fly over with us and just guard us and protect us from any bad things happening, and protect everyone within my traveling circle as well as the motorcycle so that we get there all in one piece. Sometimes I've used them for healing energies when I was really battling with an illness many years ago. I just got to the point where I was so drained of energy, so tired. I just did kind of an offering and a little bit of a prayer to my healing dragon and asked for some healing energy. And slowly and surely, I started getting my energy back and I started healing and finally, you know, was able to get the doctors to get things situated right so I wouldn't be ill anymore. So it worked out, I guess is the easiest and quickest way to put it. But there's lots of different things that you can use them for.
Well, I knew a high priestess once who, she was having trouble with her ex, soon-to-be ex, and she put up a dragon guardian around her house. And she would see the man, he would drive by, and he would even park out in front. But he wouldn't get out of the car and come up to the door after she put her dragon guardian up.
Interesting how it works, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure if you asked him why he didn't get out, he wouldn't say that, oh, there's a dragon there. He'd just say, oh, I was just watching or something. But after she got her dragon up, he just quit coming. He would go out, park on the street, and sometimes he'd be out there for hours like he was watching to see who was coming or going. She just went to bed.
Wow.
She didn't care.
You know, sometimes people just aren't aware either that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just aren't aware that there's a...
They just know that they're not going to be comfortable. If they get out or they start approaching or something, they get very uncomfortable and they've got to leave.
Yes, yes. And in the same token, if you try working with a dragon and you start to feel a little uncomfortable about it, then that means it's time for you to stop and let it go and go back at a later point in time. Doesn't mean to give up. It just means to try again a little bit later on. So,
well, how long did it take you to get proficient at working with dragons?
Years. Literally.
Years. Okay, so
years.
Anybody listening tonight that wants to get into this, don't get discouraged, right?
Exactly. You know, don't get discouraged. I mean, it took me about, because back, you've got to remember, back when I started working with them, we didn't have internet access. We didn't have half of the resources that we have today. So learning about dragons was a very long and drawn-out process, learning about dragons of old, mythical beings that they had in medieval times, learning about those and their likes, dislikes, habitats, uses, how people interacted, and reading old books about it, anything I could get my hands on. So, you know, really about the time I was getting into it, DJ Conway came out with that book, and I thought, oh, wow, this is a sign. It means I
yes.
should be looking. I'm in the right direction. And when I started reading her book, I was getting more confirmation that, yes, I was in the right direction. And to keep going, I think that was one thing I really liked about her book is the reassurance. She reassures you at various points. You know, if you're doing this and that and the other, you're on the right track. Just be patient. You're getting there. Just be patient. So through her encouragement, I think I did, you know, pretty good. There were times when I could look out in the woods and I would see, it's sort of like a mist in the trees. It almost looks like, how do I describe it? Oh, the best way. When you're watching a Star Trek series and Scotty is beaming them up and it looks like they're being, it looks like they're a vapor. You know how that
okay,
vapor
they're shimmering
was?
Is what they're doing. They're shimmering
right.
out of sight.
Right. And if you look off into the woods and you see a little patch that's a shimmering, that's a doorway. That's an opening.
Okay.
And you can call a dragon in through that opening. I would not advise
you.
You could approach it, but do so gently. Don't go quickly. Approach it as if you were approaching a bird. You know how birds are pretty skitterish? Dragons can be too. Even though they're big, it's like a horse. A horse is huge compared to a person. But if you look at it from the horse's aspect, the horse doesn't see you that big. The horse sees you as a you know, bigger thing. It doesn't see you being tiny. It sees you being big, you know, and the horse is like, wow, that's a big person. So it's concept. And dragons are kind of the same way. You don't want to scare them off. And you do not want to go through that door. I can't stress that enough. Don't try to astral project through that door to go after them. That's not a good thing. It will, if you're lucky, it'll slam in your face. But when it slams, it's one heck of a bang. You'll have serious headaches for quite a while.
Well, are there any warnings that you can give anybody that's wanting to study the dragon? You know, from personal experience, things that you've done wrong that you tell them, no, let's don't do that.
Well, one was trying to astral project through the door.
I thought so.
You know, that was like number one thing. And when people who worked with dragons would give me good tips, I would follow those. But I'd also listen to them when I would ask them, you know, what have you made any mistakes? Have you, you know, gone in a different direction than what you should have or done anything that might not have been correct? And I listen when they answer because I learn from, it's easier to learn from their mistakes than it is to make my own, believe me.
Right.
It's so much easier. You know, you do want to really be self-disciplined. You want to be focused and you want to be very objective with yourself. You know, a lot of people will say, oh, I can be objective. I'm very objective. I read my own cards. That's not a good idea.
No.
That is not a good idea. And it is very difficult to be objective about yourself. The problem is that if you do have the ability to be that objective, you tend to go to the opposite extreme, and you become very self-critical, so you get to be really hard on yourself. That's something you need to be aware of. Don't be so hard on yourself. You need to keep in mind that mistakes are made so we can learn, and it's not a bad thing. It is a learning experience. It is a journey, and you learn from that, and you know, do the best you can, but don't give up. Definitely don't give up.
Well, do you think there's an
advantage
for people
tonight too?
Do you think there's an advantage to having dragon, elemental dragons at your circle as opposed to the watchtowers, or would you call both in?
I would, depending on the working. Again, it depends on the type of working I'm doing.
Okay.
Definitely, if you're doing something that's protective work, if you have a very serious type of a situation, you need protecting somebody stalking you, you want protection, call the watchtowers and call your dragon respectfully. You know, I respectfully call my dragon to aid me in this work. Here's what I'm about to do. Please guard me and protect me and keep me safe because this is the situation. You know, you explain to your dragon what's going on. In the beginning, they're kind of like young children. So you almost have to be careful how you talk to them. In other words, being careful to talk in a level that they understand. You don't want to talk down to them, but you want to talk to them in a way that they would understand. So with kids, that's, you know, essential. You also have to be repetitive. Sometimes when you're first learning dragons, they might need to hear your name a few more times. Remember, dragons are very old, very ancient, and respect your elders. And sometimes we have to tell our elders the same thing a couple of times, 3 times, 5 times, 12 times, 13. You know, you just keep repeating it. So I would definitely be repetitive. Definitely.
Well, I can see where you would have to be cautious too. I mean, if you're really, if you're afraid or very angry, and you're calling in a dragon to protect you, and that dragon picks up on your fear and your anger, they may just decide to go after the person that has you that upset. Is that possible?
If that dragon has really become your personal dragon, almost. Like a familiar, they can be a familiar, but not in the category of a pet, like a cat or a dog or something else that would be a familiar. You know, dragons wouldn't be a familiar in that aspect. But if that dragon is very bonded to you, yes, it would. And it sees that you're upset, and you ask it to do this, it will go after that person and let that person know, you hurt my person, you hurt my pet human. That is not nice. You will pay for it. So, but I do have a couple handouts for everybody tonight. One handout is about how to call in a dragon, and it is a kind of a nice little piece that we put together for you. And then we have one that is Dragon Protection. And this is one that the Dragon Protection is nice because you don't necessarily have to have attracted a dragon to you at this point. What you can do with a protective dragon is buy yourself the modeling clay that will drive through the air, you know, air dry, or you can put it, I think you might be able to put it in the oven. I'm not totally sure about that. I don't work with that type of clay. But read the instructions and see what that says. Otherwise, just air dry it. But if you're talented enough to make a really good model of a dragon, that's great. It's fabulous. But it is not a necessity. You could just do a lump and make little triangle pieces to make for the scales or for the little parts on the spine of the dragon and the tail if that's the best you could do, that's perfect. And it's to make a dragon of protection for you. You will need modeling clay and paint, unless you buy the clay in that color, and you will need a needle. And what you're going to do when you construct this, again, it's like Kazan and I always say, put up a circle, cast your circle. Bless your area, cast your circle, call your quarters, invoke whatever deities you like to invoke if you want to do that. It's not a necessity, but, it is nice to have the blessings of the goddess and the god. And then cast your circle. Meditate for a few minutes. Get your mind clear. Get your mind focused. And then take a blob of clay. Just pick up a blob. It doesn't have to be the size, the finished size. It could just be a small piece to start with. And you're going to take that blob of clay and you're going to put your energies into it. You're going to hold it in your hands. A lot of our energy goes through our hands. That's why you'll see people, if they do a healing, you see them putting their hands up to that person to put their energies of healing into that person. Your hands can put out a lot of energy. So put your energy into that lump of clay. Hold it for a few seconds, and then visualize that solid white light of protection going into your dragon. And then work your clay and form it. If you have a mold, that's really good. If you're not real talented, like I'm not talented, for me it would look horrible. But if you can
look
find
like
a
Loch
mold,
Ness Monster, if I made it.
You know what I did with mine? I had a mold for a dinosaur, and I kind of did that. And then I added the wings in by hand. And I did that. And then you work that clay into the shape of the dragon. Add your details, and as you add the details of your scales and your feet and your wings and neck and the head and that kind of thing, think about this being something that's going to protect you, protect your home, and keep you all safe. And once you've got the dragon dried out, then you can paint it at that point if you have paint. And then after it's dried from the paint, you take the needle, you prick your finger, you're a big person. You can do this now. It's okay. It's really okay to cheat if you know a diabetic person.
Right.
And they can do that little needle thing for you. And take that little bit of blood and give your dragon a name and then anoint it with your blood. Put the drop of blood about where you think that dragon's heart is going to be. Put your blood there, give your dragon a name, and then anoint it with the Dragon Bane Protection Oil, which is also included in the handout that I'll be giving you. So if you just kind of go to the Lady Bridget's Ask a Witch Facebook page, you'll find the handout that we will load up for you afterwards.
Okay, but you forgot to tell them what to say. Once you've got your dragon all done and you've anointed it, then you say, I made you to protect me. When I call your name, may you come to me, so mote it be. This is my will, and my will is done, with love for all and harm of none. Then you close your circle. Now, and I got to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I'm inspired, okay? I want to make a dragon. I have saved, I know, at least 10,000 pop tabs. I'm not exaggerating. I can make a big one.
Oh, no. That could be
so
dangerous.
I'm
going to
be playing around with making dragons with these things.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I want to see photos, definitely.
If I could get one made, I think it's the coolest thing because I remember in Chicago, someone had a dragon made out of, it was aluminum, it had to have been, because the thing was so shiny, and it was really huge, life-size, and when the sun would hit it, when you're going down the expressway, it would blind you as you went past, and I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I wanted one so bad.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, always, ever since I was little. I when as a little kid I thought it was a cool thing, and I was fascinated by dragons when I was little. And I didn't realize, you know, until I got older that perhaps they really did exist. And as I explored this path more and more, the first time I came across someone who told me about having a relationship with dragons, I was really questioning when they were going to take him back to the institution. I really didn't think he was right. Well, you know, I didn't think the guy was right, you know. I just thought this dude is definitely off a bubble. Not the sharpest crayon in the box. Yeah, right, dragons, sure. Okay, dude, whatever you say, I will not make you angry. You know, it's not safe. But then, you know, then someone that I knew was a sane person, for the most part, and someone that I really respected, so they started talking about dragons and said, are you aware of this? And I said, well, you know, somebody else did mention it. I thought they were crazy, but, you know, if you say it's a real thing, then I will believe you. And that's kind of how I got to it. And understanding that they really did exist. So it's been a fun journey. It's been interesting, but it is a journey you don't take for granted when you're working with dragons.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine that emotional control would be ever so important.
It is. With yourself, it is. Make sure that you're always in a good mood. And it's okay to say, I'm not up to working with my dragon today. If you feel your dragon around, it's okay to say, I'm not up to working with you today. I don't feel comfortable doing that. And your dragon will understand. And they'll give you a little space, and you can always say, I'll let you know when I am ready. We'll try again tomorrow. I'll try to see you or talk with you or connect with you again tomorrow. So it's not telling them go away forever. It's saying, I need a day. I need a minute. And they understand that. Dragons are very intelligent creatures. Yes, it is. And they're intelligent creatures, very intelligent creatures. So it's a good thing. So should we tell them what we have coming up ahead?
Okay. Well, we're winding down to the end of July. So maybe you want to tell them about next month, and then or not next month, next week, and then I can tell them a little bit about August.
Oh, cool. Boy, do we have a lineup for you. Oh, we do so much for our listeners, and we do listen to you. We find it very interesting when you send us an email or message us on Facebook and you give us ideas or you ask questions. I can tell you that's how we did one show, was asking one of our listeners what they thought about certain things, and yeah, she was super. She gave us her thoughts and opinions, and we had a fabulous show. It was a good show. So anyway, next week we're excited, and we're really revved up for this, because we have the Ohio Paranormal Society coming on the show, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be an interesting show. It'll be pretty fascinating to talk to them and get their take on what they do and how they do it and fun things like that, and places here in Ohio. I know we gave people ideas on crystal mining out there in Arkansas, so we hit your hometown. So this time, not hometown, but where you live. So I thought this time we'll hit our town and hit Ohio and get them and get their opinion on that. So it'll be a good show. Very interesting. We hope that you'll tune in and check it out.
And next month, we have a lineup. We have Wendy Rule going to be on the show. And we are going to have a Reiki master for our Witches Cupboard segment on Healing Ways. We will have a Reiki master on the show. And I'm not sure about anything else, but there's three shows right there you won't want to miss.
That's for sure. So in the meantime, we're going to say good night, and we thank you all for being with us, and we thank you for listening in, whether it's live or through the archives. You are important to us, and we do enjoy having you talk to us and email us and participate on the website, on the Facebook site, too. So take care, be good to yourself, and blessed be.
Blessed be, everybody.
You're listening to Pagans Tonight. Pagans unite on Pagans Tonight. Many paths, one network. For over 5 years, we've been the place to connect with the best, brightest, and most trusted voices in the pagan world. Every night is Pagans Tonight.